No Direction and Paizo team up to bring you the Gen Con 2018 seminar coverage. No Direction would like to thank our advertising sponsor, the Roll for Combat Starfinder Actual Play Podcast. Listen at rollforcombat.com.
Everybody! Greetings, greetings, greetings to one of my favorite seminars at Gen Con each year, because it's a lovely quiet time on Sunday with a bunch of nice people. My name's Ben Looms. I am the CEO and creative director of Sirenscape, a company that makes sound and music and beautiful immersive environments and creature encounters for all your favorite role-playing games. Who has heard of Sirenscape? Almost everybody. Excellent. Groovy. Who has used Sirenscape? Okay, sort of most people. Excellent. So for the few people that haven't, I suppose I should just give a super fast demo to make sure that we're all in the right place. And then I'm going to ask you as an audience what you would like me to talk about here, because there are actually a few options that I can sort of put more emphasis so I can get an idea of why you came. So the standard demo that you would get if you came to our stand is there are actually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sound sets, like literally now, in the Fantasy Player. One of the most important features is to know that you can actually organize those sound sets into shorter little lists on the left-hand side of stuff that's ready for the game you just need tonight. And one of the things that I can talk about is I could go through my own prep process for a game. So think about whether you'd like me to talk about that. Another sort of thing I can talk about is the actual guts of creating your own sound sets using the Sound Set Creator, where you can bring in your own samples and mix and match the content that we have in Sirenscape with content that you've created or soundtracks from computer games that you like or whatever, and upload that to the server, and that becomes some content you make as well. We can also have a more theoretical discussion about sort of why music and the function of music. I will talk about all these things, but I can emphasize whichever ones you want. So while you think about that, I'll give you a quick demo. So Red Dragon City Raid is one of my favorite sound sets, because the actual voice of the dragon is sourced from my own mouth, so I'll tell you a little bit about that as well. It's one of the first sound sets I ever made. So here we're hearing just the sound of a peaceful morning. Everything's totally fine. Nothing's going to go wrong. You can see here a list of all the elements that make up this soundtrack. There's a town dog's track. See that little timer counting down there? When that gets to zero, a dog is going to say something. Some random dog in some random direction at some random distance. There you go. And then it's waiting now. It looks like it's chosen quite a long wait time this time. Now I can actually trigger it straight again by double-clicking. There's a different dog, even a bit further away. Double-click it again. Different dog pattern, that's right. So there's a whole lot of different dogs in there, all randomized. So this is not just a 15-minute recording of a set town scene, but it's being generated dynamically as it goes along. So it's always going to be different. The dog's never going to line up. There's a cart going past. You can see the activity there in that little brightness. I could turn it up to hear it. There you go. But at the moment, the way it's mixed, it just mixed somewhere into the background of the general hubbub of town. But that's not the point of the Red Dragon City Raid soundset. The point of the Red Dragon City Raid soundset is this single click here. Roll for initiative, suckers! Now, I don't need to do anything else. All those lovely sounds have turned off. And just the sound of hideous death and raining fire. Now, I can leave that going. What I normally do is turn off the Red Dragon Flame and, in fact, make my own preset. So instead of triggering Dragon Fire, I trigger No Flame. Because I like to, instead of saying, oh, the dragon's going to use its breath weapons on you, I just take my 10 dice and I click the Red Dragon Flame sound. I'm loud enough over the top of the music to hear me. Yep, excellent. Now what's cool, and it'll just run and run and run, you don't have to do anything. If you like the music lots, you can turn it up. But go to the storm sound set, turn on some heavy rain, thunder and lightning. Excellent. And now we can extinguish our players as well as drenching, as well as burning them. Or you can give the dragon a cryo weapon from the Starfinder role-playing game. Excellent! and save that as a preset. Dragon with laser gun. So now that becomes a preset, which I can trigger with one click, yeah, in the rain. And then when the battle's finished, aftermath. The battle fades out and just crosses back over to the sound of a city. The crackling buildings and weeping men and women. Of course, we'd want to turn some of that rain back on, actually, if we were actually planning an encounter that really did happen in the rain. Maybe a bit more. There we are, maybe like that. And that would be my raining aftermath. So maybe that was my prep time, because I decided to add environmental factor of rain into the game. So now it becomes peaceful morning with a bit of rain, maybe. And then when I trigger the dragon fire, it's dragon with laser guns. play for 45 minutes while we kill the dragon with our own laser guns, I suppose. And then at the end of that 45 minutes, one more click. To raining aftermath. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? Straight away? I'd love you just to be chucking your hands up and asking questions while we go along. So, do you want me to speak about... what were the three options? I can't remember now. Prepping a game, about sort of the guts of Sirenscape and actually making a sound set for yourself, or about sort of that, sort of how to use Sirenscape in the game and the sort of the uses of music and the emotional effects of music. So, prepping a game... Yeah, a little bit. Yep, sort of the use of music and the way you can manipulate emotions and the flow of the game with music. Yeah, a bit of that, yep. And also then making your own sound set in the creator. Okay, this is pretty much even. Okay, that's fine. Right, I shall show you some... First, we'll look at the emotions of the game and sort of why music. So, I'm going to just use the free content only. And I'm going to go... I'm going to attempt to not color my voice. I'm just going to say the same line, the same way, with three different musical contents. I knew your sister. She was a tasty morsel. I took her out one evening, and it was a lovely night. Feels rather innocuous and lovely, doesn't it? Nice guy. What if I went instead... I knew your sister. She was a tasty morsel. I took her out one evening, and it was a lovely night. Do you feel the difference in emotion? I mean, it's like just completely recontextualizes those lines, doesn't it? Why? Because of all sorts of technical reasons about the nature of the sort of harmonic language of that nervous, persistent instrumental line that's chromatic and creeping up and creeping down. And the fact of the rain makes the scene seem grim. That's hard to say, isn't it? Then, what about this one? Torture chamber sort of weirdness. Now, has anyone seen online those films where they actually change the actual music and sound effects behind a standard set of vision in a film? There's a fantastic one with Jack Sparrow arriving. You know how he arrives on his boat and the boat disappears underneath him, he steps onto the dock? Yeah, there's actually a video online with that done kind of in eight different ways, and it becomes sort of comic pratfall with little musical interludes with him landing on the deck. And it becomes sort of this grim, terrible thing, and then it becomes this epic, romantic thing, and he actually looks really awesome kind of arriving. And it's quite amazing, the power of music to manipulate the context. So if you're using only descriptive power or the color of your voice to describe a scene and evoke emotion in your players, then you're missing out on something that movies have used, for instance, for decades and decades and decades and decades. Now, when we started Sirenscape 5 years ago in this professional thing, I actually had a freeware, like a donationware version of it 10 years ago. We were really arguing to use sound and music at the table. And there were lots and lots of people saying, oh, I don't use music and devices and things at my table. It's, you know, ruins the thing. And that argument, we literally never have to do that argument anymore. You know, 99 out of 100 people want to use music and use lighting and use all those other immersion tools in their games. It's now just become a question for us of why would you pay for Sirenscape, basically? Why not use only a Spotify playlist or a YouTube playlist? And I hope you can see today by some of the sort of examples that I give of how to prepare and manipulate and really, really control the flow of the game, why you might use a more powerful tool. And that's sort of the argument we're having to fight at the moment. And, you know, and it's really, really been quite a radical change. Similar to when, you know, music and sound came in movies. There were literally people saying, oh, you know, you're ruining the art form. Silent movies are, you know, and or even colour. You know, this cheesy, disgusting, gimmicky thing called colour that they used in The Wizard of the Oz and spoiled the movie industry forever. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting. Excellent. So definitely chuck up your hands with any questions if you have any. Yes? Yes. Excellent. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. Very, very good question. So what about using it in a public space where you have sound conflict noises? So there's two things I would say. The first is don't. and who was at the special on Friday night? No one was at the special. Okay, so the big Pathfinder special, more than 1,000 people in the hall playing. We started DJing for the special. The Paizo guys thought that was fantastic. We got licensed with Sirenscape, blah, blah, blah. It was really, really great. The first few years, we ran sound sort of continuously through the whole evening. And when you have 1,000 people in a space and it's already difficult to hear, adding a whole nother level of sound on top of that actually made people feel frustrated and made it even harder for people to hear the GM. So now at the special, we reserve Sirenscape and the big dramatic things for cutscenes. So literally every time there's a change in scene, the music bursts out over the room, everyone shuts up and listens for those dramatic moments as Sirenscape goes. And it's very, very effective then, and really, really dramatic, and helps to unify. The whole point of the special is everyone's going on the same journey together, but controlled from different, separately on their own tables. The second thing I would say is do use it, and there's some ways of using it. Now, a small Bluetooth speaker in the center of the table, set loud enough for the players, music's really spooky, for the players to hear comfortably, is not going to progress very much further than maybe a meter or two beyond the table. Because sound halves in volume for every time the distance doubles. So it's proportional. So the idea is if this speaker is, as you can see, 2 feet away from me, by the time it's reached here, it's already half the volume. And then once it's doubled that again, it's almost gone. And so that's number one solution. So get the speakers close to the player's ears and keep, you know, enough separation between your tables. And the other thing, which is really super, super important, is pick the pitches of the sound you use. So low sound does not interfere with a human voice. All the vowel information is in the mid-range. And then super high sounds also don't sort of interfere with the human voice. So if you take out certain elements, like annoying in a room when you're trying to play and lots of other people are playing, are these sounds. Those sorts of sounds. If that's sort of going all the time, that's actually interfering with my consonants. So I want to say but it's actually a fairly similar sound, isn't it? So if you were playing in a public space, just turn off any of those particular sounds. Everything else you're hearing going still at the moment, you can see how it's not actually interfering with my narration right now. And it's actually adding to the mood, the mood in the room. And that deep rumble doesn't actually make it difficult for me to be heard, does it? So yeah, so that's really, really important to think about. Because immersion is about adding an emotional level and cueing subconsciously those reactions. So people shouldn't, you never ever when you're watching a movie think, oh my gosh, those trombones played a tritone. I think the star is in trouble. Or those strings are going, I think that shadow of a person standing like that is going to be something bad for the woman in the shower, yeah? But subconsciously, you absolutely understand it. When you hear, dum, dum, you don't go, oh, that's a chromatic motif that I recognize. you know, but accuse the mind. And if you hear that ever, you think the shark in Jaws, or especially if you're near the water. So the point of that sentence is that the last thing you want to do is attract the listener's attention to the sound. Okay? And if you're continually making it difficult to hear by having elements in the sound that are annoying, they're actually taking people out of an immersion and you're doing something that's not worth doing. Does that make sense? There is an exception to attracting the attention to the sound. If you think about what happens when James Bond does something really, really super awesome in a film. Exactly. He gets a musical sting which is deliberate, a little bit cheesy and fantastic and makes everyone feel awesome. So that's actually the soundtrack deliberately attracting attention to itself. So you can do that with Sirenscape as well. They're not loaded on this current version, but you can do things like, but no, he's my brother. You know, or yeah, you rolled a one. And that's an immersion-breaking moment which creates sort of entertainment and fun. Does it all make sense? Great question. See, I really, really, really want those sorts of questions. Excellent. Good. So, other techniques that can be used in game mastering. It's really important to keep your musical score dynamic so that it shifts. Because basically you can drive emotion by driving this the actual sound that's there. So if we've had this going for quite a while, and then I dissolve it out, isn't that lovely? Suddenly the oppressive mood lifts from the room, and we're now in a much more mundane, comfortable situation. Now the reason that's one of the important reasons why that's mundane and comfortable is because there's human voices. Familiar human voices, not displaying stress, just all chatting in all sorts of normal ways. Before, what we had was very, very low pitch and sort of some really, really high, almost inaudible kind of ringing, which is very, very disturbing to humans. And lots of distantly only, you know, only barely sort of audible skitterings and bumps. Oh, there's some music and happy stuff. And a really great trick is to say you start with a battle. Roll for initiative, then start the music. So we're battling, we're just getting set up, we're thinking, oh, what will our layout be? It's all sort of pretty casual. Just at some point during the battle, like maybe 10 minutes in, just give a little kick to the music. Just raise the stakes a little tiny bit, you know, let it keep playing. People won't even notice that change. It's imperceptible, isn't it? Another little kick to the music. It's just starting to get a little bit sort of epic. Little kick to the overall volume. Suddenly people are having to raise their voices a bit to be heard over the music. So people are just leaning forward a little bit, enunciating a bit more clearly. Kick the music again. Kick the whole sound. Suddenly everyone's sort of shouting over the music and they're like, no, just move around the back. Okay, right, I'm rolling my dice. And the mood is really, really huge and exciting. And suddenly the battle's epic, 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 epic. And then suddenly dramatic moment. It's like even more sound. It's like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? Victory finally comes. And it goes. And suddenly the mood. Does that make sense? So you're actually controlling what people have to do vocally and posturally with the sound. So you know that problem when sort of the person's sitting back in their chair, you know, between the turn, and they're looking on their phone, and they swear they're only looking at the rules? Well, you can actually use sound and music to keep people on the edge of their seat, literally. And if you raise that volume level gradually, 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 then you can actually get them to lean forward. You can actually get people to stand up. You can get people to start pointing and gesticulating and trying to find more ways of communicating. And that can be super, super, super effective, especially with those people who find it difficult to maintain concentration. Nathan, I'm looking at you, one of my players. He's fantastic, but distractible. Another thing you can do is reserve sounds for particular moments. One I love is, where is it? Yeah, deep growling. So one of my favorite gaming moments that I always talk about is, what's the adventure, which is A Haunting of Harrowstone. Do you know that? I can't remember the name of the whole adventure path. Anyway, fantastic Paizo adventure. And there's, you go into a haunted house and you can go upstairs. There's also a hole in the floor that's collapsed. And you're not, it's not level appropriate yet when you first when you first arrive in the house. And you need to try and find some way of avoiding the players from going down the hole, because literally they're like still only just like first level and a half, and it's kind of fourth level stuff down there, and they're going to die. So my players were looking down trying to consider whether they really wanted to do that or not, and I just triggered this sound. Softer than that. And it was fantastic. They all just sort of sit there and go, "We go back to town and become florists. I'm rethinking my life." There's reasons why that sound is scary, isn't it? Because, you know, quite literally, the Homo sapien on the plains of, you know, savannah of Africa, if you heard that sound, you need to have an instant fight or flight reaction. So that'll literally put adrenaline to the system. It'll create increase your awareness. It'll make you think defense. Where's the nearest tree? I'm going up it, or whatever. It's irresistible visceral reactions, and that's the fantastic power of music and sound. Really, really super, super useful. Can anyone else think of any other techniques of music which they've seen or heard in movies to control or elicit reactions? What's some other fun stuff? Just before I move on. Yeah, there's also evoking familiar... Now we're using whole sound design as a leitmotif. So we're talking about leitmotifs like the Jaws theme or the James Bond theme. You can also do stuff like this. So that entire kind of Star Wars cantina, some anonymous alien cantina that we put in Sirenscape, paints the entire scene. You can see it, can't you? And you can see what customers there are there. You can see and feel the vibe of the place. You can pretty much imagine the colours there. I've got Seedy Tavern. Yep, okay, what about this tavern? I love playing this music. It's like as badly as I can possibly play. So it's another sort of tavern, isn't it? You can see that it's almost deserted. The bar is probably like almost completely made of stickiness. As opposed to the friendly tavern, which is one of the free ones. Here we are. Yeah. Much more friendly, casual atmosphere. Probably not going to catch any communicable diseases. The band is well paid. It just takes a load off having to describe with words. And of course, if you have reduced the number of words you need to say to create the essential stuff, you can then move straight on to really, really describing the mysterious person in the corner whose face is only lit when he draws on his cigarette. Very, very cool. Very, very, very powerful. And it's important to be able to turn the music off, turn the music on. So maybe we want that music, and we want... Where was that theme? A Nervous Wait. Okay, so we're here. Friggin' Gandalf hasn't turned up because he never bloody turns up. Yeah, okay, so now we're seeing the Aragorn-esque character watching. That's cool. So this Witchwood sound set has music long delay. So if you just go, here we are, like that. The first thing the sound set does is not play anything. And in fact, it's one of our more common support requests. I've set the music to go and it's not doing anything. Well, music doesn't need to go all the time, does it? Otherwise it loses its power. Imagine a movie where there's just continual music the entire time, from song to song to song to song to song to song. That would be kind of annoying. You can trigger this music to actually start. Whoa. But what that's going to do when it reaches the end of that track is to be silent for quite a while. There's also very few elements down here, just triggering a growl every now and then, a little bit of wildlife. Oh yeah. Or we can, instead of that track, you can use the music delay, no delay. We start straight away and actually then continues from track to track to track overlaid, just in case you want that bed. You can also pick out the actual track you want out of those. And most of Sirenscape's sound sets have, yeah, so that's that actual song, which I can pull up deliberately. Most of the sound sets have the actual individual tracks broken out and available as well.
Cool.
All right, so that was sort of the power of music. Shut up, freaky wildlife. To sort of control emotion. Does that all make sense? Cool. Would you like to see my game prep process? Because I think that's a really, really good one. So if you're playing Rise of the Runelords or Hell's Rebels or Strange Aeons or now Curse of the Crimson Throne, which we're doing now. We just released Chapter 1 for our subscribers, which is super cool. Then you can just literally click on the chapter headings of the book, which are here as moods. Bing, 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 and it's all sort of laid out for you, which is super amazing. If you're... And we also have licenses with Call of Cthulhu, with Chaosium for Call of Cthulhu. We're preparing Masks of Nyarlathotep, which meant I had to learn how to say Nyarlathotep. Hooray! And we also have a license with Dungeons & Dragons. We're preparing Dragon Heist, which comes out in September, which is super cool. If you play any of those three games, make sure you come to the Sirenscape booth in 434 and give us the sounds of commoners on the street. Before you leave Gen Con, we're looking to populate Waterdeep and Corvosa and 1920s Earth with just people randomly walking past saying things, so that those streetscapes are ever more rich and very varied and things like that. So yeah, cool. Excellent. I ran a game, the most awesome game ever, with John Kovalik, and who writes Dork Tower and drew a few cards for Munchkin, and Zach Eubank, who is Hyper RPG, and some of the guys from Dragons and Things the other day, which was fantastic. And I said it was sort of in 1920s Earth, and I shouldn't spoil my adventure because it's really, really cool, but basically the gist of it is the people who sank with the Titanic start turning up in New York and trying to sort of take up their jobs and go and find their fiancés and things like that. And so I needed a mixture of sounds that were appropriate for that game. So I needed first general kind of 1920s Earth. So I found this, which is just general traffic sound, specifically with only 1920s vehicles. Now this sound set is designed to be a car chase, so you can actually sort of up the speed. And then you can actually make it a proper chase with some good skids and things. But that's not going to be a background 1920s sort of New York, is it? But this might be background 1920s New York. So just the sound of the traffic. And maybe some music kind of a bit softly. Yeah, there you go. That sounds like you're out on the street, isn't it? Get the balance sort of right. So I had that. And I kind of alternated between that and these horror elements. So this is a bit of community content that someone made. So that, you can, there's stuff that comes with Sirenscape as standard. For our top level subscribers, there's community content that people create and upload to the server and then share with the rest of the community. And this is the sounds from our horror sounds from Strange Aeons, from Pathfinder's amazing adventure. There's this thing we have in a lot of the sound sets for that adventure called tension levels, where you can actually incrementally up and down the tension. And someone took the time to actually rip out those tension levels and make just an Elements horror sound set, which is super cool. So I use that now. You can find this same thing in the Strange Aeons Adventure Path. So you can hear this. Ooh. So once again, really, really high sounds, like tinnitus ringing in the ears. And these sort of low sounds. It's very disturbing to human beings. And tension two. You sometimes only notice Sirenscape when you turn it off, or the sound you're using when you turn it off, and everyone suddenly realizes, why they've been feeling so awful. Yay, Sirenscape disturbing people all over the world. Yeah. So you can kind of just manipulate the mood of the table. Just with one click. And now I'm clicking every kind of minute or so, but these clicks come half an hour, 45 minutes apart normally. And do things like this. Or this. Super cool. Tension level 4. The adventures, I brought the characters together by, everyone had their own character living in their apartment, and I started the adventure by triggering a knock sound. There's a knock on the door. And then what? Are we all together? No, at each of your houses, there's a knock on the door. And then I ran the encounter in all their houses sort of simultaneously. Each house was being attacked by a zombie, and that's what brought them together, which is super cool, because that's really hard sometimes in a one-shot how to create unity in the game. Combat. About as high as it goes, and then we can go back, drift back. Yeah, see how that calms down? And then, yeah, so basically I searched through the sounds in Sirenscape, created a playlist. One of the most important things to know, one of the super, super, duper, duper important hints, is to not try and operate from this list here. You can bring stuff up super fast, like, beach, boom, and that'll bring up that beach cove sound set. But if you can do a tiny bit of pre-preparation, you can make yourself the stuff available that's really, really important. Right, the zombies were turning up at people's houses, weren't they? So I went back to here. When there were zombies on the street, a bit loud. Turn that off, turn on some of the horror elements. There we go, now it's starting to sound right. Now this is bloody rain, not the Australian phrase, bloody rain. Okay, now it's starting to sound good. Now remember, you can save that as a preset. Zombies on the street. So that's a preset. Now I go back to this traffic one that I set up. So that's all just running, it's all fine. Then maybe trigger a horror hit. And trigger my zombies on the street. And suddenly it's all functioning really, really nicely. Yes?
In the software, is there a way to make a sound set that shows options from a whole bunch of different sound sets?
Yes. That's right, exactly. Good. So here is the sound set creator. Yeah, so everything I've talked about so far is how to do it within the standalone player. The design concept of the standalone player is to keep as little available as possible on the screen. Just the moods, turning on elements, changing the volume, because obviously the whole idea of something that creates sound is to keep the attention on the players. And literally the reason I made Sirenscape was because I was sick of trying to get the right sound to play at the right time. So then the next tool which is available is the Soundset Creator. And this is where all those parameters all unlock, all that sort of spatial stuff. So let me show you. I talked about the dogs before, didn't I? Do I have Brindletown here? Brindletown, no, it's not. Not there. Let's find a sound set that's good to talk about. Friendly Tavern, there we are. Okay, so I'm going to talk about, this is now the sound is coming out the projector hole, so that's not very useful. So let me find Friendly Tavern in this one and play an element. What's a fun element? This is an interesting one because it sounds really unnatural actually by itself. Oh no, it's a long one. Let's do the laughters. Here we are. Sandar laughing. Okay, so that doesn't create immersion, does it, by itself? When it's buried in the rest of the sound design. That's so funny. Okay, right. Sandar laughing. Here we are. So, right, this is what makes an element tick. So say you were trying to make a tavern sound or a street sound and you wanted to have some naturalistic element, like a certain individual reacting in a certain way. I'm going to turn that off because that's really annoying. These are the parameters that control that. And now this is getting really, really techie. So this is the bit I promised because some people put up their hand and they want to know how things tick. Right, this element is called Sandar laughing. It contains that many laughs, eight laughs, eight individually performed laughs. Oh, it's coming out there, so I can't play them to you, okay? They are just completely dry samples that are only 2 seconds long, 1.3 seconds long, 2.4 seconds long. No effects, no positioning, no anything. Just a mono recording straight into a microphone. It has a volume, an initial volume. That's how it comes set in Sirenscape. When you hit a mood, the thing that happens is Sirenscape arranges itself. See, the volume sets to a certain level, and that element's actually set really softly because it needs to be really just blending in subliminally, okay? It has a reverb component. So what is the acoustic of the space? Because if Sandar laughing was in an echoey cathedral and the whole rest of the sound design is in like something like a tavern, it would sound super weird, wouldn't it? Like, you know what I mean? That sort of echoiness. Is it able to be positioned 3D? The music that you play in a movie soundtrack, the music isn't a part of the environment, is it? It's a separate kind of emotional add-on. So it is flatter and often in just a stereo spread, whereas the rest of the environment spins around the entire theater around you in your surround system. Does that make sense? When the color of the music changes suddenly, it's a cue that the music is part of the environment. In fact, movies play with that sometimes, don't they? You hear kind of someone listening to some music on their car, and then you have sort of them driving along, and then it flicks out into the music soundtrack and becomes a part of kind of the emotional content of the film instead. But Sandar's laughs, we definitely don't want just next to our ear in stereo every single time, because that would sound really weird. Oh, here we are, direction. So this is where we're allowing Sandar's laughs to appear. Now, Sandar is not going to appear randomly laughing in 19 different positions every time he plays. That would be so awkward. Like, is Sandar some kind of... Oh, my God! Okay, so he's directly to the east, south, east, which is kind of that way. If you have surround speakers, it'll come out of probably the back right speaker every single time. You could then actually, if you wanted him to randomly appear around the room, that would be super weird. And he would go, ha, 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 ha. And in fact, that'd be super cool for like a ethereal devil Sandar, wouldn't it? That'd be super, super cool. And you could put him in deep reverb and you'd be in this tavern and then there's something seriously wrong with this tavern. It feels really awkward. Okay. In which case you'd set his reverb to be very, very different. Good. Okay. The distance he's allowed to appear is 5 to 8 meters. Now, the main effect of the distance over such a small variability, it will just change the volume of his laughs. And that's really, really important. If the samples sound exactly the same every single time, you're endangering the fact of them being noticed. If every 15 minutes the recording goes around and it's just a 15-minute recording, it's exactly the same every single time, human brains are going to notice the patterns. And in fact, the genesis of Sirenscape goes back to this hilarious moment where I was doing, in fact, that. I was making 15-minute recordings and pulling in some samples. And the table stopped, and all the players, except one of them, who's more kind, stopped and said, hang on, woof, woof, oh, because this bloody dog wolf pattern had gone round for 7 times. They were only meant to be in town getting the mission to go and kill the dragon, but they'd spent like an hour and a half negotiating with the barman about whether they could get some healing potions or something. Anyway, so I started trying to make my recordings longer and longer and longer, and then I was dragging in and having to mix around patterns, and oh, so frustrating. And then I thought, surely a computer is the perfect sort of thing to pick up random samples, distribute them random distances with random timings, all that sort of stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah, cool. Good. So, if you're in a cathedral environment and you vary the distance by a large amount, maybe 10 to 20 meters, when the Sandar's laugh is closer, it will have less acoustic echo. It will be less whoosh, you know, like if magic. You can actually have Sandar's laugh. Move around. I am going kill you. You can have that sound appear far away. I am going to kill you. Oh, I blew on the mic. And actually have it move past the listener, which is a super, super cool effect. Once again, that would create, probably subliminally, something in the mind going, there's some really weird beep going on. You need to be nervous. You need to be aware. A little shot of adrenaline to the system, and you've got that mood being created. Cues. It's a sound effect that's being auto-triggered, as opposed to a one-shot, which the user triggers, which is these ones over here, yeah? So that's when I actually want sound, just to laugh. I can actually just click him. It's also a music track has other properties, which I don't need to rave on about. Right, so when does Sandar laugh? Because if we started the mood thing, and Sandar and Kira and the Manly Men and a chair bump and everything played instantly, that would be like super weird, wouldn't it? Like, ha ha, all at once. I can't really give a demo of multiple people laughing at once, can I? So Sandar actually laughs precisely at the fifth second after you trigger the mood and start his element, which is super cool. And the phone rings and he receives a phone call. Then once he's laughed once, when does he laugh again? Sandar laughs somewhere between the tooth and the 10th second after he laughed last time. And that's super, super, super important. If he was laughing once a second, ha ha ha. That would be super, super weird, wouldn't it? Okay, and then there's stuff like count the sample from delay, so you can actually get samples to all overlap and sort of interleave and things like that, which is really, really great for sort of satanic hag laughing and things like that, where it wants to do that sort of stuff. Good. What order does it play Sandar's laughs in? It's going to shuffle them. Remember your CD players in the past? You could set it to play the 20 tracks of a CD and shuffle them, same as in Spotify. So actually, it's going to play all 8 of Sandar's laughs before it plays any of the other ones again, which is super important. So that avoids Sandar ever laughing exactly the same time 2 times in a row, or potentially 19 times in a row if you roll enough ones in a row. You can also set it to random, in which case Sandar will. It's possible that Sandar will laugh number 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 5, 6, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1. Does that make sense? And that can be really, really useful depending on, say, it's a blacksmith who's striking blows on an anvil. You know, pretty much a lot of their strikes will actually be very, very standard. Maybe you want them to sort of have a repetitive strike with some variations, blah, 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 blah. It's actually interesting to me. I've talked lots and lots and lots about variability. It's actually kind of interesting to me. You need more than 5 laughs, absolutely, definitely. If you have 2 laughs, it's going to totally be noticed. But it's kind of remarkable, isn't it, just how few laughs you need to fool the human mind that they're really listening to a naturalistic laugh. So when that entire soundscape goes on, if his laugh was a super, super prominent feature, with only 5 laughs, you may notice. In which case, you definitely want to record at least 20 or 30 of them. But there's no way in this, with sometimes him being loud, sometimes him being soft, that you're ever going to notice it's the same laugh that you heard 9 times before. Sorry, 9 laughs previously. In fact, you're lucky if you hear him laughing at all, but it's there and affecting you. And convincing the human mind that it's listening to a natural, non-repetitive environment. So it's actually been, of interest to me, just how easy it is to fool the human brain. It is very, very important that the roars say. Oh, yeah. There's lots and lots of them out there. And if you're triggering big, loud, prominent roars, it's really important that there's not 3. Does that all make sense? Good. Yes, a question, and then just a couple more questions, and I'll stop.
Can you just briefly talk about the hardware? I think there's an app for sound.
That's right. Okay, yeah. I definitely should mention that.
You set this up and then
Take it to the... That's right. So you can download Sirenscape on PC and Mac and Android phones and tabs and iOS phones and tabs. You download the app for free without even registering. You get to use the top 8 sound sets, including the dragon and the storm that I demoed with, including the witchwood, which has that spooky, disturbing music. Also, one of my favorite sound sets recorded by Crystal Fraser. Fantastic royalty of role-playing companies, in which this is an NPC sound set, where you can actually have an interaction with a PC.
Welcome to my show.
Hello. I hope you'd...
Is there anything I can help you find?
We're looking for a new sword.
Please have a look around.
Thank you. We don't have much gold.
Oh, yes, I'm sure this is within your price range.
I like the one up there with all the pluses on it.
Oh, that's very expensive.
but you can give us something, can you?
Certainly.
Good. Something really, really good?
Indeed.
Give us a 50% discount?
Certainly not.
Et cetera, et cetera. So you get those five, and without even registering, if you come to the stand... 343, we'll give you some extra stuff for free. Then you can buy things one by one. So what's one of the ones I referred to? Say, yeah, the car chase sound set. It costs $4.30 US. So imagine you're buying sort of, you know, setting up for an adventure or whatever. You buy a dragon mini, you buy your dragon map, you buy your dragon sounds for $4.30. Then, but the issue there is, of course, there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. So you can also subscribe to Everything Fantasy for like $7 US per month, in which case everything unlocks in its entirety and becomes usable like Spotify, except that in addition to that, everything we release during the period of a subscription becomes yours forever. So it's like you're basically purchasing all our new stuff at a big discount. There's also a sci-fi subscription, and then the top subscription, I feel like I've turned into a salesman now, but thank you, it's all important info. The top subscription gives you access to the Soundset Creator, in which you can take all the samples we've ever made, mix them together, mix and match them, and upload stuff for yourself. Yes, another question.
Two questions. Are you able to upload your own sound files into this?
Yes, that's right. So with the Creator, you can take the computer game music from Neverwinter Nights 2, which I literally use in my own personal table because it's one of my favorite tracks, pull it into the Soundscape Soundset Creator, throw away the music that's in there, click upload, it becomes a soundset that you own and just like any of the other soundsets existing in the players, which is super cool. You can also record your own dragon roars or your own dramatic big bad guy speeches, pitch shift them down, make them sound super cool, add some reverb, position them, all that sort of stuff. Other question?
The second question is, you said you have a plans or ideas for having players have an app that connects to your app so they can interact with their own songs?
So we have a thing called Sirenscape Online where the game master actually controls Sirenscape from a browser window that looks pretty much like this in any browser window. The players all run a little minion, just a little Sirenscape Online box, and when the game master hits the Wilhelm scream, it goes pings our server and that message gets distributed out and everyone's things play the Wilhelm scream. Now that allows us then to do additional interfaces, like let the players also have a browser, and that way then when the cleric casts or channels energy, rather than saying I cast channel positive energy and here's my healing, that's my entire turn, hooray! Instead she just basically touches channel positive energy and goes yes! And it's this epic massive glow and bloom of sound that explodes over the whole room mixed in. So that's kind of... That'll probably come online in sort of the next few months as we really start to develop the online player nicely. More questions? In the last couple of minutes? Anything? Yep?
Yeah, the sounds that you're purchasing, are they yours to do with as you wish, or whatever, any purpose you wish?
Yeah, that's great, great question, yeah. So a lot of Twitch streamers are using Sirenscape sounds. The Crit Roll guys, Maze Arcana, Hyper RPG, all those people are using Sirenscape's music and sound effects under the Creative Commons Attribution License in exchange for credit, like a shout out in the show, and a link in the credit notes. A credit in the link notes. I can't speak English anymore. Yeah, so absolutely. If it's something commercial and it's in a big computer game or a movie or whatever, then you talk to us. Yeah. Cool. You had a question?
Can you integrate this with other. RPG programs like Roll20?
Yes, absolutely. So using the online player, you just have a separate little browser window. Fantasy Grounds has done, and D20 Pro have done some fantastic integration where you can actually create objects within their program that you can actually click on that then remotely controls the Sirenscape player so you don't have to navigate away. With other programs you haven't done that integration, then you just pop over to a browser window or have the browser on your iPad or something and trigger the sounds that way. And that remote player, that online player, allows you to transmit Sirenscape's super high quality sound without having to ram it through a voice program, which is creates some compression and loss of quality. Cool. More questions? And then I'm out of time. Any more? Yes. They do work offline. Sirenscape, the standard player will start up. If it finds no internet, it just starts. If it finds internet, it checks to see if you've purchased some new stuff or your subscription's locked and has to go grey out or whatever. Yeah. Yep.
I was actually just more curious on the development of the music itself from a music theoretic standpoint as far as keeping things unrepetitive.
Yeah, super. Yeah,
more
yeah.
Of a circle of fifths progression is like you're going through music to kind of keep it moving and then looping back.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how a lot of the approach is done for the music?
That's right. Now, this is 51, and I could seriously talk about this for hours and hours and hours. The couple of things I would say is the music is really important that it has no prominent foreground element.
Yeah.
Like lyrics. Or even a really distinctive tune that comes back and back and back.
Well, yeah, and like you were saying with vocal ranges and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, yes, a lot of the stuff you mentioned already. Let's chat after.
Okay.
So thank you, everyone. That was fantastic. Thank you for asking good questions. And see you next Gen Con. Yay. Bye.